Yeah, so now to meditation in everyday life. So what I hope to do is to go some of the things that we have been trying to do here and to explore how far we can integrate that in our daily life. On the first day, I remember I said that one thing we might try to do is when we wake up in the morning to spend a few minutes. Few minutes is enough. Just lying down on the bed, listening to the sounds, feeling the body. Perhaps think of loving kindness in the morning. And to see, just to have the idea, today I hope I will get an opportunity to do good to others, to make others happy, and to make me happy. Just to have that thought in the morning. So this might take 5 minutes, 10 minutes in the morning, lying down. So this is a way one can begin the day, and it's just effortless, simple, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Another suggestion I was offering was trying to be aware of small things, simple things. So in everyday life, in the morning, there are some things that we have to do every morning. Can you mention some of them? Brushing the teeth. Now here, again, some very simple suggestion. Can you make a little effort just to learn to brush your teeth with awareness? So we all know that when we brush the teeth, we do it mechanically, habitually, so we can be mentally elsewhere. So just this simple exercise in the morning, just coming back to brushing, just to do it in a very caring way. So it will help us to develop awareness, and your teeth will shine in the darkness. Perhaps taking a shower in the morning. Another simple, I mean, if you can really spend 2 or 3 minutes just feeling the water in the body, just being with that feeling. So just choose one or two such actions in the morning where you can do it in a very caring way with awareness. I mean, it's a beautiful way to start the day. So now, maybe going to work or doing some work, Is that right?
Right.
Now another point for you to remember, now when you leave from here, don't try to experience the same calm, the same space, the same clarity, the same smile. Please don't. This is the main problem. In retreats, naturally, due to certain conditions, we experience this calm, peace, this loving kindness, and then we are hoping, waiting to continue that. So this is why I have been emphasizing so much not to allow the monsters to go to sleep in a retreat. It's very, very easy to happen. Because if you put them into sleep while you are in a retreat, when you go back, naturally they wake up, very powerful, very active. Yeah, so that's why I was emphasizing bringing up the monsters here, playing with them, working with them, understanding them, creating space for them. So in everyday life, this is bound to happen. Peace bound to arise. So they should be the objects of meditation, as I have been emphasizing very much here. Not to be surprised, not to give them a minus, not to give yourself a minus. Welcome them and see how far you can work, use some of the tools that we have been discussing. So again, it is possible that sometimes you will succeed, sometimes you will fail. And when you succeed, you can say, well, the medicine is working. And when you succeed, you say, well, now I can't take the medicine, but I'll go home and then think of the medicine. What do I mean when I say this? So when you go home, when you are maybe, you have some space, you can just take your mind backwards and see now, what exactly happened now? Why did I get angry? What really provoked me? So this is, as I said, reflecting, and this is taking the medicine. So our so-called failures become learning experiences. I like this very much, again, something which Thich Nhat Hanh says, that we use compost. Thing that is dirty, that is thrown away for the growth of the plants. We can do the same with our own compost, to use them to grow, rather than use them and then give them minuses and feel bad, feel worthless, feel that you are not getting anywhere. You are using the monsters themselves. And if you can make this connection, then during the day, if the monsters come, there's no problem. It's not a big issue, because you know, maybe at the time, can maybe take a little medicine, maybe the others, I can do it later on, so no problem. And another thing I was emphasizing here very much is when the monsters are not there, just to know that they're not there. So wherever you are, in the office, at home, whatever you are doing, just the only thing you have to remember these things, just to remember, maybe after working a few hours, just to say, take my mind back and say now, what were the monsters who came? And what were the times when the monsters didn't come? Very soon you will realize that you have been spending more time without the monsters. So again, this can give you inspiration. This can also give you more faith and confidence in the medicine. You will be surprised to know what a good person you are. Now, I'm sure these things are within our reach. In any situation, anyway, what I'm saying, if you have any problems, any difficulties, please present them after the talk. Another thing I have been suggesting is to make a connection with our breath, our friend, and to use our friend to experience the reality of the present moment, and also to use our friend to generate loving kindness, even for a few minutes. So please make this connection. So if you can make this connection during the day, especially when there's a build-up of work and tension and stress, just pause for a few minutes. You can do it seated on your chair. You don't have to even close your eyes. People won't know you're meditating or sleeping, doesn't matter. To think of your friend and immediately coming back to the reality of the present moment. Stopping this build-up that has been happening so far. Now my famous toilet meditation. You will be surprised that in the main Buddhist text, which spells out the development of mindfulness or awareness, which is called the Satipatthana Sutra, foundations of mindfulness, developing of them, it is said that when you are in the toilet, you can practice mindfulness, practice awareness. So this is a very, very powerful way, again, of preventing stress, anxiety that is building up. Go to the toilet, very nice posture, have your spine erect. And I don't know any place where there are restrictions about the time that you have to spend in the toilet. And just relax. Just using the breath. And then if people really notice you, they'll think it was one person who entered the toilet, person who is leaving the toilet is another person. If someone asks you what you do in the toilet, interesting question, shouldn't should you say it or shouldn't you say it? Anyway, I leave it to you. So, coming back to the point, relating to people, there are times with some people where you have to assert. Otherwise, people can start exploiting. They can take advantage of your so-called loving kindness. So you have to choose when to do this and when to do that. So the third point about relating to people, maybe the boss, maybe the colleague, maybe the neighbor, is seeing them as your gurus, as your teachers. Who is a guru? Who is a teacher? A teacher or a guru indicates to the person what is going through that person's mind. So this is exactly this guru, the boss or someone, doing to you, exactly indicating to you what is happening to you. Your minuses, your annoyances, your irritations. Can't you look at them? So what a good guru you have in such people. So rather than see what the person is doing, like no need to look at what the guru is doing, but the guru is showing you a mirror, so look at yourself. And as we are still human, we might get annoyed, we might get irritated, we might get angry, you might fight with the boss or whoever. And if that happens, Again, don't give yourself a minus. See, now today all these monsters came. Tomorrow, let me go and see what happens. Who is the guru who is there every day for you? So the boss is there every day to you. So you can go again the next day. Or your girlfriend is there all the time for you and you have only to go back. Maybe the neighbor is always there, so we are very fortunate to have, and you can have more than one guru. You can have one at home, you can have one in the office. I mean, grateful, very grateful. So this is the practice. This is why in this retreat I have been emphasizing, make friends with unpleasant things. Can you say okay to them? Can you make them the objects of meditation? So it is using the same principle in relating to people. So if you can see the practice in this way, our spiritual practice, our meditation becomes so interesting, fascinating, adventure, not fearing to make mistakes, learning from everything. Yesterday, Madhuvani mentioned that when she has tension, when she has an unpleasant experience, she thinks of someone who is friendly to her, who is helpful to her. You can use the same principle in thinking of some guru of the type who is creating problems for you. If at that moment you can say, well, I hope the guru, my boss, will not experience such tension, such unpleasant experiences that I'm having. And it is the same principle, because here when there is tension, unpleasant sensation, you think of someone else who is friendly, so you take your attention away from this. So you use the same principle in thinking of this, the boss who is the guru in another sense. So what else can I suggest in everyday meditation which related to what we have been practicing here? Another thing was about work. On the first day, I said, please try to see work as an opportunity to develop spiritual qualities like patience, caring, compassion for others. So I can draw a long list of spiritual qualities related to work. So isn't it possible the type of work you are doing? It may not be so pleasant as helping in the kitchen, but whatever work you are doing, to see the work, if you are earning something, to see that work as a way of getting money for me so that I can use the practice, so that I can help the money to other people. So only thing is a small change of perspective to see that work in an entirely different way. Not to see it as a job, not to see it as a profession, but trying to see it where you make an entirely different connection with the work that you are doing. When I was in Germany giving a retreat, many people spoke about computers. They said, maybe most of the people were working with computers and they say it's terrible to work with computers. It's so mechanical, so makes you like a computer. So I like to share with you some of the things I told them, which might be relevant, which you can be used in any context, anything you are using. One thing I was also emphasizing here is learning to have a caring connection with things. So it's like a sort of, you make a human connection. So with the computer, is it possible to really make that connection with the computer? Though it's a machine, can you really feel it? There is a very good friend of mine in Sri Lanka. He really talks to the car. He touches the car. Special connection with the car he has. Now with this mechanization, cars and computers are talking to you. And these are the interesting things I hear when I travel in the West. Someone told me how the car speaks to you. So now learn to speak to the car. Learn to speak to the computer. Please try that. You will realize that you will make an entirely different connection. You will be relating to that as someone which has life. When I say this, I remember a gardener we had in the center, an old person. I considered him as one of my teachers, because he was teaching, not being conscious that he was a teacher. This is the real teaching, with his being, with his openness, with his gentleness. Did you meet him? He would speak to the plants, he would speak to the trees, he would speak to nature. I mean, it was fascinating where he had a personal connection with nature. So much so that even one day he told me, even the dreams he sees is of nature. One day I told him to meditate, and I asked him, what is happening in meditation? I see plants, I see trees. So you can have this connection, and I think Thich Nhat Hanh teaches how one can use the telephone as an object of meditation, and I think Peter will tell you how the guidance he gives, the suggestions he gives. How does he do it? So I was told that in this place where Thich Nhat Hanh center is, a little girl who heard this saying that one should be aware of breathing before you take the telephone, take a few breaths. So this little girl had told someone who was rushing to the telephone, you are told not to breathe when you go to the telephone. Sweet, sweet, eh? Shh, don't breathe. So this is work we try to do, and to see work in an entirely different way. What else were we doing here? I emphasized this meditation of loving kindness very much. And I also try to use meditation of loving kindness to use it in different ways. So one is using meditation and loving kindness to heal the wounds that are created. So in everyday life, you're bound to have wounds in relationships, in interactions. So that what is important is to discover a tool, way of healing them. So here, meditation and loving kindness can be something very, very useful. Another aspect of meditation of loving kindness which I touched is learning to make friends with whatever is happening, especially if it is unpleasant. So that this perspective can be used, as I said, in relating to people you don't like, in relating to emotions that you don't like. So when emotions come, I mean, without hating, without resisting, without disliking, without having stress, just to make an effort to make friends with that, to welcome it, there'll be such a difference. Another is related to that is meditation of loving kindness to others. So that your relationships are, you are bound to improve, and with loving kindness to oneself, loving kindness to others, it's a beautiful way to relate into oneself and relate into others. And in speaking about loving kindness, another thing that I emphasized very much was feeling grateful. It's a, such a beautiful quality, but we don't really use this beautiful, wonderful quality. And there are so many things that we can be grateful for, very, very little simple things, but we take them for granted. What a beautiful gesture to just to, before you eat, just to feel grateful for the food that you are eating. Feel grateful that we have eyes to see. There are people who cannot see. Feel grateful that you can hear. There are people who cannot hear. Feel grateful that we have awareness. There are human beings who have problems in their mind. They don't know what awareness, what attention is. So whenever you practice awareness, can you feel grateful that I can do this consciously with awareness? So if you can see little things in this way, then we learn to feel grateful for so many things around us. Feel grateful to the computer. Feel grateful to the telephone. Feel grateful for the job you are doing, because it gives us money, a profession. Feel grateful to the boss who is teaching you, because he, you have a guru in the office. So feeling grateful is another way of saying no complaints. You are contented with what is happening. No complaints. Maybe there are many things which he did, which I can relate to everyday life. Perhaps I'll try to do it tomorrow in the last discussion, but I'm sure you might be having questions. What do I do? How do I meditate in this situation? Please present your questions, difficulties which you have to face in everyday life, and let us see how far we can use meditation principles in such situations.